The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. And as we wind our way through the off season, we're trying to find out as much as we can about some of the Giants' draft choices, the new young players who hopefully will help the Giants take another step forward toward eventually overcoming the hated Philadelphia Eagles. And here today to help me talk about third-round pick Jalin Hyatt out of Tennessee is Terry Lambert of SB Nation's Tennessee website, Rocky Top Talk. Terry, thank you very, very much for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Ed.
Hey, so let's talk about Jalin Hyatt. And I have to start here. Giants traded up to get Hyatt at number 73 in the third round. Those who follow Tennessee, how do you guys feel? How do you guys look at the fact that he was still on the board that far into the draft?
Well, that's a little bit of a loaded question. I think people know. People have questions about this Tennessee offense. Any college football fan last year saw what Tennessee did. They did it with tempo. They line up their receivers quite literally at the out-of-bounds markers on both sides of the field. So they're going to spread you all the way out. They're going to run a play every 17 seconds. So they're going to put a lot of stress on the defense. So you have to be able to evaluate a player like Hyatt and say, okay, was this Jalin Hyatt or was this the brilliance of Josh Heupel? So that's where it comes into play. It's a lot like the Art Briles Baylor offense from back in the day. So that naturally has some questions. So it's less about Hyatt. It's more about what did this Tennessee offense do for Hyatt? So that's why I think he tumbled. You know, we can talk about, and I'm sure we will, the lack of size, the lack of physicality and stuff like that. But I think when you get down to the nuts and bolts, I think people had too many questions about the Tennessee offense and how it translated to the NFL.
So let's talk about that Tennessee offense a little bit. And you said that the hard part of the evaluation is, you know, how much of it was Hyatt and how much of it was the offense. And we saw, I mean, if you look at his pure numbers, he went from 21 catches in 2021 to 67 catches, 1,267 yards and 15 touchdowns
right
in 2022. So how much is the offense and how much is Jalin Hyatt? How much is he just different?
Okay, so an important part of this is Jalin was on pace to do this last year in 2021. He got hurt against Pittsburgh, which was, I believe, the third game of the year. He was operating out of the slot. He had 5 or 6 catches in the first half of Josh Heupel's first half of as Heupel's first game. So he was going to be a big part, but he got hurt. So when he got healthy, that was mid-season, and he had kind of fallen out of rotation. So Cedric Tillman had emerged by then. Tillman was eating all targets. Javonte Payton, Valus Jones Jr. Stole a lot of his targets. So Hyatt had to wait his turn, even though it was his turn. He got hurt, and it just he kind of fell out of favor. So he comes back 2022. This was still Cedric Tillman's show. Tillman got hurt fourth game of the year, and that's when Hyatt really shined. I mean, he became the focal point of the offense. He was the focus. He was getting all the targets. Tennessee was scheming him up. So that's why you see the big jump. I think he could have done it in 2021, so I wouldn't put too much stock into his lack of production in 2021. I'm going to chalk it up to him getting hurt, falling out of favor. Josh Heupel said he needed to learn some things and grow up. He absolutely did. I mean, that much is clear. He became a leader on this Tennessee team. So, but I mean, the results, once he got put in the spotlight, he shined. I mean, from that Florida game, from that Alabama game, the LSU game, in the biggest moments of the Tennessee season, he shined.
You know, the question, as you had mentioned, about the Tennessee offense, and I have studied it to an extent. You know, you watch it week in and week out. I guess the question is, from a wide receiver standpoint, I mean, how simplistic is it in terms of what these receivers are being asked to do? I look at it, you know, and my general impression is you're either going to run a slant, you're going to run a hitch, you're going to run a deep route, or you're running a bubble screen, and that's it. Pretty much that's about it. You know, based on whatever the call is, you're running, you know, one of three or four fairly simple things. Am I pretty much on target with that?
You absolutely are. I said it was like the Art Briles offense from the Baylor days. Think about what Baylor produced. You know, you're talking about what Corey Coleman, Kendall Wright, Terrence Williams, a lot of those didn't work. And I'm a bit of a draft guy in my previous life. You know, you watch that tape, they're not running routes every snap. Yeah, sometimes they're just standing up, you know, a decoy. And that's what the Tennessee offense is. So it's very unique. You're spot on. He has not run a full route tree. Tennessee will, you know, combat you on that. They'll say, you know, they've run a full route tree. They haven't. The thing that I will come back to you with on Hyatt specifically, he committed to Jeremy Pruitt and Jim Chaney, who ran a pro style offense at Tennessee. That was back in 2020. He was a four-star prospect. He torched Alabama as a true freshman. A lot of people don't remember that. They didn't go back that far. That was really the first introduction to Hyatt that we got, and that was from an I formation, you know, boring vanilla pudding offense, I formation play action stuff. So he still has the ability to do it, in my opinion, in a pro-style attack. So there is a little glimmer of hope there, but you're absolutely right. He was limited in what he was asked to do with Josh Heupel.
Yeah, and it's not saying that he can't do those things.
Correct, yeah.
It's just saying that there isn't a lot on film that shows that he's done it, so maybe there's a bit more of a learning curve and a bit more of a question as to I think every wide receiver understands what a dig route is and what a post route is and what a double move is. It's just how much have they practiced it and how good are they at it? Because those windows in the NFL, you have to be very precise in running those routes to get open. You have to be very precise. So I think that's the question, is how well can he run those and how quickly can he adapt to it?
Right. I totally agree. He wasn't asked to do that. I mean, and going a little bit deeper into that, on the line of scrimmage, he didn't face press coverage. Tennessee schemed him. They would put Cedric Tillman on the press and they would let him handle that. But guess what? They would stack Jalen mm-hmm. Hyatt behind him. And what did that do? That gave Jalen Hyatt an ability to get free, an ability to get up to speed without facing press coverage. So that gave him 3, 4, 5 steps to get going. And once he gets going, he's gone. And nobody's going to keep up with him. That's the appeal of him. But Tennessee was really smart with how they used him. And nobody seemed to keep up with that. I mean, it was hard. It was hard to scheme for because you're not going to man-on-man beat that. You can throw a safety over the top, but Tennessee's got plenty of other options to throw the ball to. So they were really smart with how they allowed him to get up to speed and how they let him work down the field.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Right. And I think one of the other things is if you're getting a lot of snaps in the slot, you're not really getting pressed anyway because you have a built-in cushion to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That goes back. I mean, they've lined him up behind left guard and just kind of put him as an up back and let him hide and let him run a wheel route. So they were really, really creative. They did not put him in positions where he was going to struggle to get off a press. They let him run. And that's a credit to the Tennessee staff. Is it the best thing for his NFL prospects? Probably not. But it helped Tennessee win a lot of football games last year.
So what is your confidence level in what kind of receiver he can be? And, you know, I think most people look at Hyatt and think that he's going to wind up, you know, as a boundary type receiver in the NFL. So what is your confidence level that he can transition to that? And that he can be at least a good enough route runner, you know, to become a complete wide receiver at the NFL level?
Yeah, I think it's going to take some time. It's something to where I probably wouldn't spend the first round pick on Hyatt. You know, we saw I saw Hyatt at 25 to the Giants a ton throughout draft season. That would be a little rich for me. You know, you're talking about in the third round, top end of the third round. You get a guy with these sort of skills, this sort of speed, it's a gamble worth taking. I think he's fine. I think it will take him some time. If you want him to be that number two NFL receiver, that slot guy, it's gonna take some time for him to truly develop, learn the route tree, all of that. But the cool thing with Hyatt is he's got this floor to him where if he's on the field and in the slot, I can almost guarantee you a safety is going to have to shade him. So that's going to help out Saquon Barkley. That's going to help out all of these guys, this running game. Get that safety up out of the box. Give the defense something to worry about while he's developing. So he's got legitimate speed that you have to contend with. So I think that's the appeal of him. Is he just DeSean Jackson? I think that's his ceiling. I don't know. Is he Paris Campbell? You know, that's probably his floor. You know, Will Fuller, a type like that. I don't know. We'll have to see. But I think he does give defenses something to have to worry about.
It's interesting. One of the guys at Big Blue View, Nick Filato, you know, took a look at Hyatt and said, you know, entering the league, he's kind of a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
But it sure is a nice trick. You know,
it's a trick that you can't teach.
Right.
You know, you go back to that Alabama game. I mean, if you're not sold, just go click on that Alabama game. Those defensive backs couldn't hang. They couldn't keep up. And it's been a while. I'll just say this. It's been a while since Tennessee had an athlete that Alabama couldn't hang with. Mm-hmm. Alabama had no answers for Jalin Hyatt. I mean, he just torched them. 5 touchdowns. I mean, he's going to have a statue in Knoxville one day. first time Tennessee's beat them since 2006, and it was all because of Jalin Hyatt. So that's a really special talent. It's a really special trick he's got.
Yes, it is. I was interested at the I think it was at the combine, might have been at a pro day workout, the video that circulated of the Dallas receivers coach.
Yeah.
And the thing that I took from that wasn't so much the receivers coach saying what he said, but what really got my attention was the fact that Hyatt stood up for himself, you know, and he didn't get in the guy's face, but he defended himself. And I'm just curious, you know, what you guys thought of that. And if you were surprised, you know, maybe knowing him a little better than we do after 3 years at Tennessee, if you were a little bit surprised that he was, that he stood up for himself that way.
Well, I'm not surprised. I think he had heard the talk. You know, the whole draft process has been about, oh, he can't run a hitch, he can't run a dig, he can't do this, he can't do that. He did a lot of things really well. I think that's where he's coming from, and he's saying he's this elite athlete, and he's going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So I think he'll be okay. I think he's got a good work ethic. The one thing I'll tell you guys is Josh Heupel called him out in 2021, and he said he wasn't where he needed to be as a player. He wasn't putting in the work he needed to do, and that changed. He called him out, and he's boom, the number one target in 2022, the best Tennessee season we've seen since, I guess since 1998, honestly. So he's got a soft spot in our hearts. He was a big reason why Tennessee did what they did in 2022, and I got to give it to him. Heupel called him out. You know, in this day and age, you can go hit the transfer portal tomorrow. He didn't. He stayed. He put in the work, and he became the number one target for Tennessee.
Was there some justification in Heupel calling him out?
I don't know that. College programs are so closed off. I'll say this. I was a big fan coming out 2020. I thought he could do a lot for this offense, but clearly Josh saw that something he wasn't giving it all he could give. But then, you know, clearly the results, the proof's in the pudding. He came out and played up to his potential in 2022. So it was really cool to see, cool to go back and read what I wrote and what Josh said, and then, you know, compare it to what we saw last year.
You have other than the Alabama game, which I'm sure is top of the list, you have a favorite memory, favorite play from Hyatt's time at Tennessee?
I do. It was LSU. It was this year. Me and my family were down on the beach. Tennessee was undefeated at the time, and we still didn't really believe, because we as Tennessee fans have been fooled before. And we go down to LSU, and Hendon Hooker uncorks a deep shot, hits LSU right in the mouth. Jalin Hyatt catches it. It's right in front of the Tennessee student section in Death Valley. And his speed was just unreal. Nobody could hang. And that was kind of the moment of arrival for Tennessee for that 2022 season. So that was kind of the moment where I knew it was real. I was like, okay, Tennessee's got a shot to be something. So him and Hendon Hooker and Josh Heupel, that Cedric Tillman, they're really truly responsible for turning this Tennessee program around. So they'll all hold a soft spot in our hearts for pretty much ever.
You know, he's not a big guy. He's no, six foot
yeah,
and change, listed at Tennessee as 175, and actually showed up at rookie minicamp at about 188, which is was interesting. Hopefully he can maintain that weight. Is it accurate to say that maybe the, you know, contested catch might, you know, is something he hasn't really shown, and maybe handling physicality at the line of scrimmage is something else that he hasn't shown.
It's very accurate. You know, I always hate when guys throw on 10, 12 pounds for the combine. He played at Tennessee at 175, showed up at 186 at the combine, I think. Anyways, he, like I said, he hasn't gotten off the jam. He just hasn't been tested in that way. He hasn't had to really, truly make contested catches. Funny part was, in high school, watching his high school tape, I thought he was decent at that, coming out of South Carolina, but didn't really do that. Tennessee schemed him open so well. So it's kind of one of those things where I'm not saying he can't do it. It's just been untested.
Right.
So the Giants are really going to have to see what he's got in that area. I'm fascinated to watch it. But Tennessee schemed him open so well, he really just didn't have to do any of that stuff.
Well, it is an interesting landing spot for Jalin Hyatt.
Yeah.
Because with Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka, the Giants spent a lot of last year scheming their receivers open and not depending on guys to win one-on-one matchups. So it could be, you know, you guys sort of feel like it's a good spot for Hyatt to land?
Well, I don't know enough about the Giants to really truly give you an accurate answer. I would say this. I hope he doesn't go to a spot where they try to make him into this three down receiver. You know, I'm not comparing him to Cordarrelle Patterson, but Patterson coming out of Tennessee, I knew if they tried to make him this true receiver that was going to be a technician and run routes and all this, it wasn't going to work. And guess what? The Vikings tried to do that and it didn't work. It wasn't until he got moved to running back that the athlete in him truly showed. So I think he's got some big ability. I don't know if it's going to work as a true receiver, but he's going to have some big upside. He's going to have some big spots. He's going to blow the top off defenses. So I hope he's schemed the right way. I hope the Giants are ready to use him in the right way. And not just relying on him to go, hey, go beat this guy. No, let him get up to speed. Let him be special. Put him in spots to win.
All right, Terry. I think that's probably a good place for us to wrap it up. So appreciate your time, and Giants fans, thank you as always for listening. Please remember to stay safe out there. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye bye.